And welcome back. So now we will continue. I'll just get the file. So the topic is to look at the focusing in mathematical terms, which means that because of all the particles, they don't follow the same orbit, and we should have some restoring force so that the particles that are a bit off the equilibrium orbit, they would feel a restoring force that would bring the particles back towards the equilibrium orbit. Of course, it's not possible to turn them on the orbit. That's not possible. We will see it later. But now, okay, let's move forward. These equations that we will go through, they are called Kerr-Zerber equations or Kerr-Zerber equations, however you like. So we consider particle moving in a classical cyclotron, which means that the magnetic field does not depend on the azimuthal angle. It depends only on the radius, so how far from the center the particles are, and the axial component z, so how high or low from the median plane the particles are. And we are looking at what happens near the equilibrium orbit. So equilibrium orbit is the one which the bending radius of rho, so that they follow the same orbit, turn after turn after turn, and so on. So mv squared divided by rho, that's the centripetal force on radius rho, and that is qb0 times v. So we denote the magnetic field on the equilibrium orbit as b0. And we have here, we can write this omega c in two ways. It's v over rho or q over m times b0. So we will see these terms later, and they are omega c. And now we parameterize the magnetic field wisely this way. So that magnetic field in the vicinity of the equilibrium orbit is B0 plus a K, it's called field index, times the deviation from the equilibrium orbit X in regular direction divided by rho, the radius of the equilibrium orbit. And that's minus BZ, because we have our right-handed coordinate system, and when set it upwards, and the particles are going around in XY plane counterclockwise, then the magnetic field must be in minus Z direction. So this is sort of gradient normalized with the rho in a way. Okay, and now let's look at radial focusing. We write the equation of motion radially. So force mass times acceleration radial, so second derivative with respect to time, mr dot dot. And of course, on equilibrium orbit is zero because the radius is constant. And we have two forces in the opposite directions, minus qbv and mv squared divided by r. And now r radius is equilibrium orbit plus the deviation. Equilibrium orbit rho, the radius rho is constant. So if you take any derivative of r, so it's the same derivative of rho and x, then this gives zero, so r dot dot is the same as x dot dot, the second time derivative. So we can replace r dot dot with this with x dot dot. And we write the b how it is. B here is b zero times this one plus k x over rho. And then here this one over r is rho plus x to the power of minus one. And we will do something for this. So we write the first part is the same here, and we take the one over rho out from here, so we get, because we get rho out from here, this to the power of minus one, it's one over rho. We take it out, and we have here one plus x over rho to the power of minus one. But since x is small with respect to rho, because we are just looking at small deviations, so we have one minus one plus x over rho to the power of minus one, then we use the binomial expansion, so it's just one minus x over rho. So we have used this binomial expansion, so here's one approximation here. Okay, now we write things out here, and what we have here minus qvb0, and from here we have mv squared times 1 divided by rho, and this is just the same as qvb0, so these cancel, and this is what we have left. So this part here from this times this, and from this side we have this. So we have, what we have left is minus qvb0 here times k x over rho, and minus qvb0 x over rho. And we divide both sides with m. So we have this m here. So we have only x dot dot on this side. And what we have left is this here. So minus qb0 divided by n times kb over rho. So this qb0 divided by m is omega c, and v over rho is also omega c. And here qb0 divided by m is omega c, and v over rho is omega c. So simply we have x dot dot plus this thing here times x equals to zero. And if we take the omega c squared out, here we have x dot dot plus omega c squared times 1 plus k times x. So, and this is a second order differential equation, and its solution is simply some amplitude a times cosine, and this thing here in front of x is omega squared, and we have cosine omega t, and this is the omega here, square root of this thing here, the omega c times square root of 1 plus k, and then plus a phase factor. This could be also written as a sum of cosine and sine, but this is an alternative way of writing it. And here we see that this is limited if this is real. If this is imaginary, then cosine of imaginary results into exponential function, so it would be an exponentially growing amplitude. So this 1 plus k must be non-negative. So k must be larger than minus 1. Okay, now let's go back in what we earlier talked about, this k. This k, yeah, this was sort of the normalized gradient. So positive k means that magnetic field increases with radius, and negative k means that the magnetic field decreases with radius. And we already see intuitively before this mathematical treatment that the magnetic field should decrease with radius in order to have axial focusing. Now we are talking about radial focusing. We will too soon see that we get a negative k for the axial focusing. But here we see that k can be negative, but not too negative. So k must be larger than minus 1. If the magnetic field drops faster, so if k is smaller than minus 1, like minus 2 or so, then it will be axially, radially. It would be radially defocusing. So in order to have radially focusing magnetic field, the k must be larger than minus 1. Okay, now axial focusing. Let's take the axial force mz dot dot. Now we have it's minus qb br or bx. There are no azimuthal components, and the z component doesn't give anything here because we have b cross b. But we don't know bx, or do we? We have only the z component. But now we call for help from Maxwell, Maxwell equations, one of them. There are no sources for magnetic field in the vacuum. So curl of B is zero, rotor of B is zero, which means that dou BZ dou X equals to dou BX dou Z. And we now move this dou z on this side and integrate. So we dou b x becomes bx, and dou z becomes z, and we have dou b z dou x. And how we define magnetic field, we can get it from there. This here is minus k times b0 divided by rho, as we define the magnetic field with the help of k. So now we know bx in terms of k and b0, and put it in here in this equation. And so we reorder, and we divide both sides with m and reorder the components. So we have here q over m times b0, which is omega c, and v over rho, which is also omega c, times kz. So z dot dot minus omega c squared times k z equals to zero. And that's again a second order differential equation, and its solution is another amplitude az times cosine omega c times square root of minus k. Here we have minus k plus a phase factor, and this is limited only if this is positive, so k must be negative, as we intuitively saw when we just look at the magnetic field lines. And now I've been focusing in both planes. We have the limitations for this field index k. This is a focusing condition for classical cyclotron, so k must be between minus 1 and 0. This thing that it must be negative comes from the axial focusing, but in order not to lose the radial focusing, it must be larger than minus 1. So this is called the field index, the k. But note, when you read literature on this, then some people use n instead of k, and it's just a negative derivative. So minus k is minus dB over B divided by dR over R, or minus dR, minus R over B dB dR. In Europe, we usually use this positive derivative. We don't put any extra minus signs. But fortunately, when k is used, then it means that it's the positive one, and when n is used, it's the negative one. And it's called the field index. Okay. Let's come back here. In both Z and R solutions, we have this omega t, which gives how many radians per second is omega. But it doesn't really tell us very much, because we don't know directly how many oscillations per turn, because we would need how much time does it take for one turn. But it's quite easy when we divide this here with omega c, because it tells how many, well, what's the opening frequency of the particle itself. So if we divide these omegas, so this here, this thing here is omega z t in terms of omega c. So if we divide those omegas, which are in terms of how many radians per second, if we divide that with the opening frequency omega c, then we have how many oscillations per turn. And then we use, in cyclotron community, we use nu r and nu z. In synchrotrons, people usually use q values, qr, qz, but they are nevertheless, they are the same thing. And here we can see that nu r is 1 when k is 0, so we have homogeneous magnetic field. And it's very easy to understand, because when we have a homogeneous magnetic field, we can shift the circular orbit a bit. And if you look at it, still has the same radius. And if you look at how the shifted position is oscillating around the non-shifted one, then it takes one oscillation per turn. But if the magnetic field increases with the radius, so k is positive, then it makes more oscillations per turn. And this here for axial direction. So UR means how many periods per turn. Typically, well, in the classical cyclotron case, negative. So this is slightly smaller than one, and this is small. When we come to some the other cyclotrons, then we see other values for nu r and nu z. And our next topic will be synchrocyclotron, and it's topic of the next lecture. So we will stop here.